And I'm very pleased to welcome the music director of the Kalamazoo Recorder Players, Karen Woodworth, to the studio, and a longtime member and treasurer of the Recorder Players, David Fisher. Welcome to WMUK, and we're looking forward to your concert this Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Well, thanks. We're happy to be here this morning.
Glad to be here.
Let's get started with some of the details of the concert, time and place, Karen.
Okay, so the concert will be at 3 o'clock this Saturday, May 18th, at the Kiva at Friendship Village. It's a free concert, and there will be a brief reception afterwards. It's also a fairly short concert. We're planning to come in just under 60 minutes.
Great. So it starts at 3 on Saturday at Friendship Village in the Kiva, which, if you've never been there, it's actually a concert hall. On the site, and there's parking nearby and an entrance. You can either go through the main entrance, and sometimes there's also entrance around toward the Kiva area if you follow the parking, the road back there. So
yeah, and I think they still have signs. So yeah. So it's not difficult to find. But if you haven't been to Friendship Village at all, the address is 1400 North Drake Road. So kind of up by Kalamazoo Central High School.
So the last time I talked to you, Karen, you were getting ready for a pop-up concert at the Kalamazoo Public Library.
Yeah. Oh, that was so fun.
Was it a great time? How did it, for those who didn't know about how that worked, tell us a little about that event.
Okay, well, that was to celebrate Play the Recorder Month, which is March every year. Yeah. You get to play, well, you can play the recorder outside of March, but in March we especially celebrate that. And we played in the lowest level of the library in the rotunda, so the music just kind of radiated up, and it was so great to see so many people there.
Oh, excellent. This is a more substantial concert, obviously, about an hour long, and we're going to be listening to some great recordings featuring the recorder in solo capacity and in ensemble as well. And on Saturday, will you use different groups within the Kalamazoo Recorder Players to showcase the music?
We do like to give kind of a little variety of timbre and instrumentation. So we'll be playing pieces as a large group, and then we'll have little interludes where some of the small groups that feature our members play. So the Troubadours, longtime musical ensemble in our community, will be playing a piece. The Antwerp Ensemble, another longtime musical ensemble, will be playing, and then River Valley Consort, which sounds like a new group, but the people in it have been playing together quite a while. They just changed their instrumentation slightly. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, one of the challenges of trying to figure out which music to bring to you today is that most of the music we're playing really hasn't been recorded at all, which is another good reason to come hear us on Saturday, because you're not going to hear this music anyplace else. But the first one is a piece by Johann Heinrich Schmelzer, which one of our group members brought to us. He was not a composer I was familiar with. He lived from 1623 to 1680. He worked in Vienna, but obviously centuries before Mozart. he was working in the Habsburg Imperial Court around the 1630s, became the court violinist in 1649, began publishing his compositions 10 years later in 1659, and we're doing his Sonata for Seven Recorders. The interesting thing about that is it's the only piece from this time period written for such an ensemble.
Seven recorders,
yep. It's two soprano parts, two alto parts, two tenor parts, and one bass part. And we're using a sopranino recorder on the top soprano part. So, and Ernst Mayr has speculated that possibly, because this survives in a manuscript at the University of Uppsala in Sweden, possibly it was written for student performers. I'm not sure how reliable that is, but it's an interesting speculation.
It sounds like Schmelzer had a fairly good and fairly typical life as a composer performer at the time, and maybe took on some projects like this that may have been specifically for a group or at the request of players, or who's going to pay him anyway? Probably a patron, not the musicians.
Yeah, somebody who had this little group of recorders that wanted something for a special performance. So we don't have a recording of the Schmelzer, but David found a great recording of a piece by Telemann to bring along.
All right. You want to introduce this for us, David?
Well, the Telemann is probably the recorder player's favorite composer because he wrote so much for recorder in various combinations, solo sonatas, concertos, trio sonatas. One of my groups specializes in trio sonatas, and so we play a lot of Telemann in that. And it's his music is quite accessible for the intermediate to advanced recorder player. So he is well loved.
Also German, too, like Schmelzer, but more famous in his day.
Oh, yes.
Perhaps.
Yeah, he was very well known in his day.
One of the top German composers, although he tried to write some things like in the French style and a la Italiana here and there, but still one of the great prides of Germany. So the recording you brought along, we hear the wonderful Mikola Petri, who you could credit with helping to revive recorder music, modern recorder music as well. She was just a virtuoso who burst on the scene in her teens years ago.
Yes, and she is well admired and maybe despised by a few people too, because her technique is so fast and flawless that it makes everybody else seem inadequate.
Well, I can't hate her for that. Maybe despair on one's own, but she is a true prodigy of the recorder. So why don't we give some music a chance to play here and remind listeners that the Kalamazoo Recorder Players will present a free concert on Saturday at 3:00 at Friendship Village in the Kiva, the concert hall there. It's at 3, as I said, and for getting in touch with the Kalamazoo Recorder Players, you have an email to share.
Yes, it's kalamazoorecorders@sbcglobal.net.
All right, let's listen to some Telemann. That's Mikola Petri, the perfect recorder player for our times, a prodigy from her teens, and has a terrific recording career. That was music of Telemann and she was playing with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, led by Iona Brown. And we're here with two members of the Kalamazoo Recorder Players, music director Karen Woodworth and treasurer and longtime member David Fisher. And David, this is from your collection of recordings of recorder music.
Yes.
Yes. So we hear a lot of Baroque recorder music because it was a popular instrument in that time. And I'm just wondering if you're drawing mostly from Baroque pieces for your concert or if it goes a bit farther than that.
No. In fact, we have relatively little from the Baroque period. The Antwerp Ensemble is playing William Williams' Sonata in Imitation of Birds, which is a unique piece. I am unaware of anything that's really quite like it. And we know almost nothing about William Williams except that he...
His parents were that imaginative.
Yeah, his birth and death dates are rather close together. I don't think he made it to age 30. And he left behind a set of 6 sonatas and a few other pieces, all for recorder. And this is the sonata in Imitation of Birds is just a fun piece to play. And it really sounds bird-like without going into the catalog of squeaks and squawks like some contemporary composers do.
Naming no names. Yeah, and I thought it was really fun to listen to, too. And we've got another piece on the concert that's really evocative of nature, and this is a 20th century piece. No, I'm sorry. This is a 21st century piece.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
We are well into it, I guess.
Yeah. It's by Scottish composer Marge Hall. And so I want to tell you a little bit about Marge Hall because I think this is an inspirational story for all those adults out there who think, oh, I wish I would have done something. You know, she says, I discovered the recorder with delight as an adult, having earlier learned piano and classical guitar. After starting in an evening class, I took private lessons with David Cook and Jim O'Malley before going to Napier University. I've taught the recorder in the Edinburgh area for many years at the Rudolf Steiner School, at a primary school in Musselburgh, and giving private lessons. I've been teaching an adult evening class in Edinburgh from 1992 to the present. In 2004, I was invited to join the panel of visiting conductors of the Society of Recorder Players. And in 2005, she won the Big Bass competition that was encouraging composers to write for recorder orchestras that included great and contrabass recorders. And let me say again, she started as an adult on the recorder, not as a 7-year-old.
That is inspirational.
Yeah, yeah. And this piece that we're going to play on Saturday, there is no recording of this piece. So again, the only place to hear it is Saturday, 3 o'clock at the Kiva at Friendship Village. It's called the Wildflower Suite. And she wrote it for the Scottish Recorder Festival in 2008. It's one of the pieces that inspired the title of our concert, which is Sweet Sweets. Each movement's named after a flower. And one that just took me by surprise. I hadn't heard of this before. Jack by the Hedge. I looked it up. You are not going to believe this. It's garlic mustard.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
It's not quite the scourge and menace in Britain that it is over here. But I never thought we'd be playing a piece that paid homage to garlic mustard.
Oh, my goodness. I get a little upset every time I see it. I have to go rip it out. I'm speaking with Karen Woodworth and David Fisher. And again, the concert is 3 o'clock Saturday at the Kiva at Friendship Village. And it sounds like a wonderful variety of music you've chosen as music director, some of which, I mean, aren't you lucky to have a library of pieces that include things about birds and flowers that can kind of make us feel like you're welcoming spring?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we did start working on this in January, so it was nice to hear some spring-like music back in those days of cold and snow that we're trying desperately to forget.
I have to ask, if you do include a bass recorder in any of these pieces, you mentioned soprano,
oh, yes.
But I wasn't
oh, yeah.
sure if the bass was out there.
Oh, yeah, we've got bass in all of these, yeah.
A good number of our people play bass recorder. In fact, a large number of them play all 4 major sizes, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass.
How much is a bass recorder going to cost you if you decide to add it to your collection?
There are plastic bass recorders, very good instruments, for under $300.
That's affordable.
Oh, yes. And a wooden one could run somewhere between $1,200 and $2,000.
Sure.
But the plastic ones, most of the modern ones have a bent neck so that they are very easy to hold and don't require a great arm stretch to reach down to the low notes.
Do bass recorders have a peg on the bottom to kind of, you can hold them from the floor like that?
Some models do, but more common is a neck strap.
Oh, Okay.
Especially with the plastic ones with the bent neck, yeah, because they don't really reach down as far and they're not as heavy.
So they're pretty lightweight. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. However, we do not have a great bass or a contrabass recorder. And I have to say, one of the things is the cost. So I don't know if you have those figures off the top of your head.
No, it would be more than a wooden bass recorder. The great basses would come only in wood. Because there simply isn't the volume of production to warrant doing it in plastic.
So a contrabass is also a part of the family of recorders and a little harder to come by.
Yes.
Yeah.
At that point, I
would say probably 3,000 to 5,000, maybe a little more. I don't know. But Petzold's been making those great square ones, so they're seeing a lot more popularity. And if you look online, you can find recorder quartets that they use, I think, the bass as their top instrument.
Wow.
I could be wrong on that. Maybe it's a tenor.
Probably tenor.
So it'd be tenor, bass, great bass, and then contrabass, with the great bass being an octave below the tenor and the contrabass an octave below the bass. And if you think about it, I mean, these really start to get, if you just did them as one long instrument, you're talking about some of the largest organ pipes that you'll ever see in a pipe organ, that kind of size.
Trying to play an organ pipe?
Yeah. But if you get one of those square ones, they've sort of bent it up inside like a bassoon, and suddenly it's a little bit more manageable.
A recorder is actually just an organ pipe with finger holes.
Uh-huh. And a fifth hole.
Yeah. Well, that's part of a standard organ pipe.
That's true. That's true. Well, we're with the Kalamazoo Recorder Players, music director Karen Woodworth and treasurer David Fisher, and the concert is Saturday at 3 o'clock, and it features a plethora, a bouquet of pieces for recorder that goes through the centuries. And speaking of low consort types or low recorder groups, that would have a very mellow sound. And I'm thinking we might hear a mellow piece from the Renaissance next by John Jenkins.
Yeah, but before we do that, I want to talk about one more because, you know, before we leave the British Isles, it'll make a little bit more sense why we're playing this John Jenkins piece, because it doesn't really seem to relate to the Wildflower Suite. But we're also doing three arrangements by Phil Newman, and I'll talk about one of them now. It's actually a composition and not an arrangement. It's Fantasia on Faithless Nancy Dawson, which is another 21st century piece. He wrote it in 2014, revised it in 2018, and it was chosen as the American Recorder Society's 2019 Play the Recorder Month piece. So it's one we played at the library, but we liked it so much that by popular demand, I put it on the concert too. And this one is based on a sea shanty that's apparently associated, well, this is what he says, the song is apparently associated with the well-known London dancer and actress Anne Newton, 1728 to 1767, whose stage name was Nancy Dawson. This tune with its associated dance is commonly performed at English country dance sessions. Now, I know we've got some English country dancers in our community, so they may very well recognize this tune.
They may start dancing if they hear the tune this Saturday.
Yep. And so with these two British Isles pieces, we thought, well, okay, let's find one that kind of comes from there. So David picked out the John Jenkins piece.
John Jenkins would come from the Elizabethan period, and which was sort of one of the golden ages of consort music, the English madrigal and all the various fantasies and other instrumental arrangements that date from that area are excellent. Fun to play and fun to listen to.
Let's hear this Fantasia number 7 by John Jenkins. It's played by the Amsterdam Lurkey Stardust Quartet, another premier ensemble of recorder players. And we'll be back with members of the Kalamazoo Recorder Players. Their concert is Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Kiva of Friendship Village, and it is free. Before there were string quartets, before there were brass quintets, before there were saxophone quartets, there were recorder consorts. And we just heard a lovely example of music by John Jenkins, an English composer of the Elizabethan era. I don't know if it's quality of the music, quality of the playing, but or the style, but just a peaceful, soulful style of music. Wonderful to hear.
Right. If you want to relax from your busy life, listen to that piece of music. It was gorgeous. So I mentioned that we're going to be playing, that was a Jenkins Fantasia. We'll be doing a 21st century Fantasia by Phil Newman. And he also arranged two other pieces on our concert. So I want to tell you a little bit about Phil Newman. He performs on the recorder and other early music instruments. He co-founded and co-directs the Oregon Renaissance Band. And here's something I didn't know about him until recently. You may have seen him in the movie Buddy Moon. I thought, really? And so I looked up the trailer for that, and you can even see this in the trailer. It features a recorder quintet that shows up in the woods. And just that tiny little snippet in the trailer is so amazing. Now I want to go see this movie. He also has built over 400 early wind and stringed instruments with his wife, Gail. So I got a little curious as to why he arranged Fly Me to the Moon and All of Me for recorder quintet. So I emailed him and asked him, and that's another great thing about playing 21st century music is you can actually ask the composers things instead of trying to speculate.
True.
And he says, we played for a fundraising gala for Oregon Ballet Theater a few years ago, and the ballet director asked if we could play Renaissance music, and it would be great if you could throw in a little Sinatra. So y'all will hear a little Sinatra on Saturday afternoon at our Kalamazoo Recorder Players concert, 3 o'clock in the Kiva at Friendship Village.
Karen Woodworth is music director of the Kalamazoo Recorder Players and is instrumental in finding all of these remarkable pieces, some of which are brand new, many of which never recorded in commercial recordings. So while we're here, we're listening to some highlights of David Fisher's library of recorder music, which is quite extensive. And again,
I'm way behind him in my recorder recordings, I'm realizing.
David's a good resource. I was going to ask you, follow up a little more, David, about the kinds of instruments. And, you mentioned that for recorder players, you have a choice. There are very good reproductions in plastic, as well as, hand-built wooden instruments. And I'm just curious about your collection. Do you have a preference or a combination, or how do you feel about it?
In my collection, I have plastic instruments in soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. I have a wooden soprano, in fact, a couple of wooden sopranos. One is a Renaissance style, large bore, large finger holes, a very strong low end. Also a Renaissance style alto, for the same reason. And I have a sopranino in plastic. The plastic instruments have a lot of the desirable properties. They are moisture resistant. They have a smooth surface, particularly the bore is smooth, which is required for a good clean tone. They have the right density so that they provide proper reflection of the sound inside the instrument. And the other big advantage is they are quite inexpensive. A plastic alto will run $30 to $35. To get a better instrument in wood, you will pay over $600. Tenor, you get a good plastic tenor for $60 to $80.
Seems well suited for Michigan's weather.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if you're not keeping your wooden instruments in a controlled environment, they will crack, as I have personally experienced.
Yes.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
I know.
And the repairs for that can be quite expensive, or you simply abandon the instrument. The tenor is $60 to $80. The better wooden one, next step up, is going to be $900. So it's a matter of affordability, particularly for the amateur player.
But, you know, I also found, so I had played on a wooden recorder when I started in high school. And when I moved here, I had an invitation to play a piece with two other women, you know, just a little trio piece. I think I was subbing for somebody or something. And I had my wooden pearwood recorder, and it had a really bad clogging problem. And Paula Walker, who sadly is no longer with us, she said, well, you should try this plastic alto I have. And she loaned it to me, and it didn't clog up as much. And there's also this little trick you can do about getting a little bit of dishwashing liquid, diluted dishwashing liquid, in the mouthpiece, and it helps to prevent it from clogging up too. Don't do that with a wooden recorder.
You have to be much different kind of care for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm with Karen Woodworth and David Fisher, and the concert is Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Kiva at Friendship Village. Now, I think we are going to hear something a little different next.
Yeah, well, I have to say, ever since I first heard Astor Piazzolla's tangos in the 1980s, I have absolutely loved them. Now, we don't have a bandoneon, but Rick Johnson gave me an arrangement of several of the pieces by Astor Piazzolla, at which point I found out he didn't write just tangos, but also tango-like pieces that were milongos. We're doing two of those. And he just had such a long career. If you read about him, it's really, really fascinating. And the three pieces that we're playing resulted from a partnership. It was sort of a three-way partnership, I think. Astor Piazzolla, let me give his years, 1921 to 1992. The lyricist is Orazio Ferrer, who lived 1933 to 2014, because you always think of tangos as being instrumental pieces, right? You see people dancing, they're always instrumental.
Yeah.
Well, these had words, and that's where the third person comes in, and that's Amelita Baltar, who I believe is still living, fantastic singer. So Piazzolla wrote an operetta called Maria de Buenos Aires that premiered in 1968, and Amelita Baltar starred in that opera. She was the, you know, lead soprano, and Ferrer was the lyricist. And so following the success of that, they wrote some, I would call them vocal tangos. I'm sure that is not at all what they called them. And the texts just have layers and layers of meaning. So we pick three to play: Los Paraguas de Buenos Aires, or The Umbrellas of Buenos Aires, No Quiero Otro, I Don't Want Another, and the Balada para un Loco, or Ballad for a Lunatic. Again, you look at this, and there's so many meanings and layers of meaning, but the one I brought for you today is Los Paraguas de Buenos Aires, which I think is just such a beautiful piece. The first line is, "It's raining in Buenos Aires, it's raining."
Music of Astor Piazzolla featured on the Kalamazoo Recorder Players Concert this Saturday, and we will hear it in this piece in its original form for voice.
Mm-hmm. And but we won't have a vocalist on Saturday.
That's right.
Thank you.
a song, The Umbrellas of Buenos Aires by Astor Piazzolla. Music you don't hear by this composer. It seems like there are about five tangos that we hear over and over and over, and this wonderful composer's fuller catalog doesn't get explored much, but the Kalamazoo Recorder Players will explore some of that repertoire on Saturday. And Karen, what else can you say about Astor Piazzolla in this piece? How many instruments will be playing on this?
The arrangement that we're playing is for soprano, alto, tenor, bass recorders. And like I said, we don't have a vocalist, so we're even though they originally had words, we're not doing the words. So you get to imagine your own layers of meaning there. And we have 12 performers who will be playing on Saturday.
Great. Does that mean, do you feel like you need to conduct some pieces, or do you mostly consider this a chamber music form where, you know, it's a small enough number of players that they direct themselves?
No, I do direct, because we are getting up more to the recorder orchestra. I'm not sure that we have any official minimum size for a recorder orchestra, but, you know, by the time you get to a triple quartet, it is more difficult to keep the beat, especially in, a variety of tempos and styles. Now, we do have three chamber groups that will be playing with us on Saturday, and they do not have a conductor. So David's a member of two of those, the Troubadours, which will be performing as a trio on Saturday, and the Antwerp Ensemble, which is a quartet, two recorders. Then Barbara Hong on electric harpsichord and Mary Ross on viola da gamba. So that's just a wonderful experience too.
Sure, that's the first I've heard of an extra recorder style of instrument like the harpsichord or viola da gamba.
Yeah, but that was so typical back in the Baroque era. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our third chamber group is the River Valley Consort. And then one of the pieces that David's group is playing is by composer Glenn Shannon. And if that name sounds familiar to you, it's because our small groups have played a lot of Glenn Shannon over the years. Mm-hmm. Our large group has played some Glenn Shannon. He's another 21st century composer who has, a very helpful website. I like that. And I wanted to share a little bit about his bio from his website. He says, "I grew up near Buffalo, New York, the middle kid of five. The first time I encountered a recorder was in third grade when everyone had to learn it. The school used it as a litmus test of musical aptitude, which then helped determine who would be in the school band. I was a natural at it, at least compared to the other kids, and joined the band the next year as the first chair clarinet. It wasn't until years later that I learned there were any other sizes of recorder besides the soprano. One of the basic rules of my music is that all parts are interesting. After spending years in high school and college concert bands, I learned that it's boring playing all whole notes on the contrabass clarinet."
Sure.
Now, I could relate to this because contrabass clarinet was my instrument in high school, and yes, I played tuba parts. Except I had an imaginative band director, so sometimes he would give me bass clarinet parts that I then had to sight transpose. So, David, do you want to say
a little bit
about the piece that you're playing on Saturday?
Yes, the Troubadours will be playing one movement from his Canterbury Trio, and it's called The Pilgrim's Fantasy, a very interesting piece. And as Karen mentioned, every part is interesting. It's not always the top part leading. In many cases, the bass, which I'm playing, is the leading instrument. And so everybody gets a turn in the spotlight, and it all works together very nicely.
It sounds like rewarding to play and
it's
fun
interesting.
To listen to.
His style, he started out by... He learned composition by going over the works of J.S. Bach over and over and over. So his early compositions for recorder were very much in a typical Baroque style. And he has gradually introduced more modern harmonies and rhythms, and becoming less pure Baroque, and He will get himself into the 21st century eventually.
But for now, well, actually, this was a 21st century piece. It won second prize in the Chicago Recorder Society's composition contest in 2003. But for now, you know, it's kind of stuck in the medieval period a little bit. Now, he says, the Middle English-like spellings of the movement names, as well as the title itself, was inspired by Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. That madrigal in the lesson book conjured up images of spring, which further reminded me of Chaucer and the Pilgrims. And having just attended the Medieval Congress here at Western Michigan University over the weekend, I'm really looking forward to hearing this piece. However, it's not the one that we brought for you today. David, I don't even know if there's a recording of the Canterbury Trio.
I haven't even looked for it.
Okay, well, we don't have one, so instead we brought something else.
What did we bring?
It says Prelude and Fugue, so I'm guessing that this Prelude and Fugue number one from 1997 is while he's still in his Bach mode.
Yes.
Yeah.
and that's one of the combinations he likes, the prelude, and particularly the fugue. This is where he gets to exercise everybody taking turns leading, taking turns with the melody.
All right. We have time to hear just the prelude, I think. Then we'll come back with some final thoughts on this concert, which is set for 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's a free concert at Friendship Village in the Kiva, the Kalamazoo Recorder Players. Music of Glenn Shannon, who is a modern composer for recorder ensemble. That was a prelude from 1997, a set called Prelude and Fugue. And we just have a couple minutes left here at the top of the hour with the music director of the Kalamazoo Recorder Players, Karen Woodworth, and its longtime member and treasurer, David Fisher. What else can we say about Saturday's concert that maybe I haven't quite got to yet?
Well, just that we hope to see you all there. It's 3 o'clock, Saturday, May 18th. It's the Kiva at Friendship Village. We're featuring composers from the 17th century through the 21st. Okay, maybe not quite so much in the middle. We have three small ensembles that are playing. There is a 19th century, early 20th century piece that River Valley Consort's doing by Gabriel Pernet, The March of the Toy Soldiers, or The March of the Little Lead Soldiers, depending on how you want to translate that.
From the French.
Yeah. So we've got some light music. We've got some serious music. We've really enjoyed working on this music, and we're so looking forward to sharing it with our community.
You'll also get to see, I think, trios, quartets, as well as the full full ensemble of recorder players. I think you mentioned up to 12 people.
Yes.
In one piece. Which are the full pieces, by the way, that take all the members together?
Okay, that's Johann Heinrich Schmelzer's Sonata for Seven Recorders. It's seven recorder parts. We're playing it with 12 recorders. Pieces or arrangements by Phil Newman, Marge Hall's The Wildflower Suite, that's a five-movement suite, and then the tangos and milongos by Astor Piazzolla. Those are the pieces that our large group is playing. And they're not all four parts. Some of them are five parts. So.
And don't forget, the name of the concert is Sweet Sweets. So that's coming up Saturday. Karen and David, thank you for coming and sharing your enthusiasm for the instrument and its music and playing together. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.